for a grand bargain on housing creation and tenant protections remain alive and relatively well in Albany as the state legislature and Hochul administration continue to hash out disagreements for a final state budget, which is due at the end of March and may or may not include provisions to boost the development of new homes and help keep New Yorkers in their existing homes. For more on these issues, we're joined in the studio by New York City Deputy Mayor Maria Torres Springer, who oversees the housing agenda in the five boroughs, for New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Welcome to the show, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you for having me.
So in Governor Hochul's initial budget proposal, she included language designed to foster pro-development zoning policies around the state. And for New York City specifically, she identified new tax incentives to build housing, authorized changes to density rules, promoted conversions of office spaces, and carved out a path toward legalizing basement apartments. How does all of that compare to what the Adams administration wants to see in order to realize its housing creation goals?
Those are important tools. The mayor released about a year ago a moonshot goal of 500,000 new homes over the course of the next decade. That goal is critically important for our well-being as a city in order to not just house New Yorkers, but to keep our economy as vibrant as it is. Getting there requires certainly city action, which we're advancing as urgently as possible, but we also need help from the state. And so the programs that you mentioned that were part of the governor's budget, from a new tax incentive to boost rental supply to eliminating an artificial cap that prevents us from building in many parts of the city, to the type of life and safety supports that we need for basements across the five boroughs, those are critical to achieving this moonshot goal. And so we're grateful that those were included, and we're optimistic given the number of conversations we've been having with lawmakers and various stakeholders that we're going to get to a good place before the end of the session.
Anything missing from either the governor's agenda or what we've seen from the Senate and Assembly in their One House budgets in terms of the authorization that the city needs from the state to realize its own goals?
Well, we are always open to new tools, because here's the reality. The reality is that we have a 1.4 vacancy rate in New York City. That's the lowest it has been in five decades. In order to change the trajectory of our housing crisis, we've been really clear that any tool, any program that can help us move the needle, we are open to. You know, the mayor said at the beginning of the legislative session to me and to everyone on the team, we have to get a housing deal done. We have to get a deal done because there is too much at stake for too many New Yorkers who day after day are facing housing insecurity. And so that's why I'm here today. I've been here a few times every week since the start of session. My colleagues have been working very closely with different lawmakers and stakeholders to make sure we achieve the right balance.
For years, the development of new housing in New York City was fostered in part by a state tax exemption known here as 421A. It's since expired. The governor's proposal to replace that incentive is language that would be a tax abatement, which would be counted against the final dollar amount billed to a property owner. Are you agnostic when it comes to the shape of a tax incentive, whether it's an exemption or abatement, or do you have a preference?
Well, we have to get it right. It has to be the type of program that properly stewards the public fisc. At the end of the day, though, it actually has to build housing. And so we have to make sure that we are being faithful to what is needed in order to get housing built in the city. More than 80% of new rental housing built in New York City since 2016, they took advantage of the old 421A program. And so as we've been talking to different lawmakers and different stakeholders, we know that there are improvements that need to be made to get deeper affordability, better wage standards, better enforcement. But a new program is critical, because otherwise, and we've already seen permit numbers drop off in the last calendar year, we're not going to make the type of dent that is needed to bring relief to New Yorkers today.
But going back to the original question, do you have a preference of whether the tax credit is an exemption versus an abatement?
Well, you know, I think there are different ways to structure it, as long as it accomplishes the building that is needed and strikes the right balance of kind of generosity in order to incent the action while getting what we care about in terms of policy. We're open, and I do believe we're going to get to the right place.
The Senate Democrats' big contribution to the debate so far has been advancing a proposal that would commit $250 million in state resources toward the development of housing on state-owned properties. Is that something you care about in terms of realizing your housing goals?
Well, we care that every tool is deployed in this fight. In our housing crisis. On the city level, what I'll tell you is that we are very aggressive in using city-owned land in order to build housing. Actually, the mayor announced an initiative during the State of the City called 24 and 24, where we're advancing 24 public-owned sites in this year, 2024. And so we love the idea that where there is publicly-owned land, that we think about using that land to tackle the housing crisis. There are many aspects of this bill that we are reviewing. We have to make sure that we get it right, that it actually delivers the type of housing that is needed, not just in the city, but across the state. But I think we are past the point of thinking that we will solve this crisis in an either-or scenario. It can't be, well, we need a tax incentive or we need to lift the artificial cap on density. We actually need all of these tools in order to bring the type of relief that New Yorkers deserve.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining the Capitol Press Room. We're speaking with New York City Deputy Mayor Maria Torres Springer, and we're talking about their efforts to get new housing creation programs into a final budget. And it seems, based on the experience of 2023 and talking to people in 2024, that housing is kind of an all or nothing proposition for the budget, which means all the different stakeholders are hoping to get their pet projects in a final deal. And from property owners and landlords, one of the big things we've been hearing from them in terms of what they want to, I guess, hang from this Christmas tree and its growing number of ornaments is something that will scale back the 2019 rent laws that were adopted here at the Capitol. Is the Adams administration comfortable with those tenant protections getting scaled back in pursuit of a much larger housing deal?
Well, it's critical to us that the tenant protections that either exist in the law or that get added as part of a larger package are strong and they don't have us going backwards. As with anything, though, the package at the end of the day that gets passed will likely make everyone a little bit happy and a little bit unhappy. And for me, that always shows that that is the right compromise. And so it's really up to the lawmakers to make sure that that balance is right. And what we're here today talking to everyone about, which we have been since the beginning of the administration, is to make clear what is important to the city, how it impacts the five boroughs. But most importantly, each of these programs, each of the ideas, of course, is complex. Some have fiscal implications. Others would be the first time they've ever been employed. But what we cannot tolerate, I think, as a city and as a state, is that we don't do anything this session to address the crisis, because that would betray all of the New Yorkers who are facing this housing insecurity, let alone the number of New Yorkers who have to sleep in shelter and worry about where they're going to be in any given night. And so really, it's those are the people who we have to center in these discussions and make sure that the perfect doesn't get in the way of the good, that ideology does not get in the way of progress, because we need to solve these problems. And I really do think that we can. The tenor of the conversations that I have had and my colleagues have had this session versus last session has been much more engaged, much more substantive. And so I'm optimistic that with everyone's help, we're going to get to the right place.
Well, sticking with the 2019 rent laws, does the Adams administration have any position on whether those have been a net positive or net negative over the last 4+ years now, especially when it comes to rent stabilization and some of the impact on vacant apartments?
We've heard from many corners of the city, different sectors, about what has been extremely beneficial and positive, and where there have been challenges in terms of investments that are challenging to make in certain buildings. And so that's the type of feedback that we're sharing mm-hmm. with different lawmakers so that as they consider changes either to those laws or any other program that is on the table right now, they're informed by what we're hearing on the ground, because I think that's critical. Otherwise, we're making policy in a vacuum. And what's most important is that they're tethered to the real world experiences that New Yorkers across the spectrum are having.
Well, you've talked about the need to strike a balance, and that echoes the tenor that Mayor Adams struck when he spoke with us in January and talked about wanting to find the quote-unquote sweet spot on issues like good cause eviction and balancing the needs of tenants versus what he described as small property landlords. Any sense of where that middle ground is? Because when you talk with the two proponents of those groups, it doesn't seem like there's much that they can agree on.
Well, what they can agree on, even if there might be differing opinions about the exact contours of what a tenant protection needs to look like, is that New Yorkers are feeling too housing insecure, that our housing crisis has always been bad, but it is in a really dire state at the moment. We have a 1.4 vacancy rate. It's never been that low. And so while we can all have healthy policy disagreements about what will work in New York City or not, we've moved from awareness of the problem of our housing crisis to healthy debates about what are the right types of policies and programs and laws to get us to solve that crisis. And so I think that's progress. It won't be done until a budget is passed. And so we're not just here today. We've been here talking to many lawmakers, and we'll continue that type of outreach until we can all collectively deliver for New Yorkers.
Well, we've been speaking with New York City Deputy Mayor Maria Torres Springer. Deputy Mayor Springer, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.